And I thank God for everyone on the line tonight. Thank God for what he's doing in all our lives. Amen. Father, we continue just to give you glory tonight and to honor your presence. Father, we thank you for creating a hunger and a desire in us, really to long after you, to yearn more after you. Father, help us, because you have promised us that as we behold you, we are transformed. We are changed from glory to glory by your Spirit into the image, fullness of the stature of your Son. So, Father, keep us hungry, keep us humble, and just continue, God, to feed us by your Spirit, the word of life. Tonight, just cause us to see Jesus. Cause us to see your ways in a very fresh way. And continue to reveal your ways to us. And to you be all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Tonight, I just want to share through the scriptures, I want to explain a prophetic atmosphere that I see, a transition, a moment, a crossover moment I see over the nation, over the body of Christ. I see a transition, a moment. But I want to use what I want to share tonight to explain kind of what I see and the season I see. We should prepare ourselves and just pray into, just like we shared last week. So I just want to use some scriptures to explain again how we need to be praying into the season and into the atmosphere of this season for our churches, for our families, for us individually. Yeah. Amen. So, Paul was writing to the Roman church, and in Romans 8, he said this. He said that the earth is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. Say the earth is groaning for the manifestations of the sons of God, meaning there is a cry, there's a desperation, there's something the world is crying for, unbelievers are crying for, even we ourselves, there's a longing in us for us to be who God has called us to be and to manifest who God has, our true identity in the earth as God's children, in that fullness of that stature of the measure of Christ that Paul talks about to the Roman church. So, if the earth is groaning, people are groaning, are they groaning? The groaning is the cry we see today, and the darkness we see today. People are just crying. Is there nothing? Is there something more than what we're going through, more than what is happening right now? If there's a God out there, make yourself known. See, but then when Jesus came, Jesus, that's the word of God, God manifested in the flesh. He was a manifestation of the will of God. He was a manifestation of prayer, and what kind of prayer is that? Jesus taught us that every plan, every purpose of God in heaven, every plan of God is manifested on earth through prayer. In the teaching of the Lord's Prayer. And this is how he put it. It says, when we pray, of course, say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so for God's will to be done on earth, somebody has to manifest it, because that's God's partnership between God and man. So that's why God even came in the flesh, to to fulfill his purpose. So the whole earth is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God to fulfill their destiny, fulfill God's purpose on earth. So if we look at this prayer that Jesus taught us, that is one prayer point that he says, God's kingdom come to fulfill and to manifest God's will on earth as it is in heaven. How can we look at God's will as it is in heaven? Because we don't know, what God's heart is and God's will is in heaven, God had to reveal it through the prophets, through the scriptures, through what we have today as the Bible. But in the Old Testament, before we have this Bible that we have today, the word of God came through the prophets of God, through the people that God revealed himself to. And then the word of God came, the will of God came to some of them through dreams or through just God, them encountering God. For example, Abraham encountered God, and God revealed his will to Abraham pertaining to Abraham's life. And God's will for Abraham and God's purpose for Abraham was that he will be the father of nations. And that was what God revealed to Abraham that he was going to be. So that's God's will. That's what was on God's heart. But God had to reveal it to somebody, that's Abraham, so that now Abraham can fulfill his will. And that's what we call destiny. Abraham was to manifest God's plan for his life. And every time that God reveals his will or his purpose to any man or any woman, it's not just about them, but they are to become the vessels by which even other people are to experience and to encounter the will of God for their lives. So whenever God's will is revealed to a man, that man also carries within God's purpose for their life, other people's destiny are tied to it. So if Abraham follows God closely and fulfills what and brings forth what God has for him, then we see through scriptures the destiny of Isaac is tied in it. The destiny of Jacob is tied in it. And later the destiny of a whole Israel is tied in. And later through Jesus, the destiny of the salvation of the world is tied in just Abraham obeying God. So whenever God reveals his will to us through dreams or visions, we should be careful not to make it ourselves, because the life of so many others might be tied to the unfolding of your obedience regarding your destiny. So I want to share tonight prophetically how this relates to the season we are in and what I see about the earth groaning and people crying for God's children to be manifested. Because when God's children are manifested, they enforce, the Spirit of God enforces and releases the will of God in the earth as God ordained it. And God's will is always for the salvation of men, the healing, the deliverance, the broken hearts, and just on and on. Now, how does God's will manifest? How does God's will manifest through us when we see a vision or we see a dream? First of all, it's through the partnership of prayer. There's so much noise on the background. If there's somebody that is, if you can mute your phone, or if you're on a speaker phone, if you can take it off, I think it will help. Thank you so much. How does God's will manifest on earth? It's through prayer. When we pray, and God reveals his will, then what? There's a process for this. I'll read quite a few scriptures right now to us. I want to read a few scriptures to us right now that will give us an example of what I'm trying to say. But I want to use Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, as the main example. I don't think there is anybody that will pray like Jesus. I think he is the ultimate when it comes to prayer. He is the example. He's God in the flesh. So there's no way God will not answer or manifest his prayers. So here is Jesus obeying God, working miracles, doing everything God has called him to do. But now he's about to fulfill the very climax, the very purpose for which he came to this world in the flesh. He's about to now manifest, finish this process. And now he's at the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's about to face death. He's about to face the cross. And he started praying. And he prayed. You all know the Bible. Luke said he even prayed. It's like was praying, and it's like the sweats were like drops of blood. His disciples were asleep, and he woke them up. It was an intense moment of prayer. He was just praying out to the Lord. Amen. So as he was just praying and crying out to the Lord, these were the answers he received. And he was responding. And if we all know it, he says, if it be your will, let this cup pass. If it be your will, let this cup pass. No response. But then the next thing he says, is there no other way? If it be your will, let this cause pass. In other words, is there any other way to fulfill this thing? Is there any other way to manifest, to finish this thing, to bring about the sons, to reveal the sons of God in the earth? Is there any other way? And of course he was praying, but finally said, not my will, but thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. See, it's a process. But this is the end of his rope, the joining on earth. But that prayer was, not my will, but thy will be done. Because there's no other way to manifest the sons of God, but through the will of God. So John says, not those that are born by the will of man or the will of the flesh, but they are born by the Spirit of God. You know. So if Jesus prayed and the answer to his prayer was the cross, then that means there is a mystery that we need to understand about prayer. And this mystery is so deep because it's the wisdom of God. And because it's the wisdom of God, it is foolishness to the carnal mind or to the worldly mind. And this mystery that I'm about to share with you is nothing but the cross. It's nothing but the cross. So let me read a scripture how Paul described it, that we can never manifest the will of God without or outside the cross, because there's no other way. Amen. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, here's how Paul described the gospel. He says, from verse 18, he says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen? This is an amazing construct. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. It's foolish. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise, and where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Had not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. So it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So, from what we read here, because the cross is the wisdom of God, Paul calls it, he says, it is the power of salvation. But it's the wisdom of God. But to them that perish, to them that will not, that will not know salvation, it is foolishness. So what does this mean? It means that this wisdom of God must be so, it's a mystery. And that's why Paul says this mystery that was hidden to man has been uncovered in his time, and he unfolded it in the pages of the scripture. So when Jesus was praying, this is the Son of God, this is God, who was crying out in his human form. Is there no other way? Is there no other way? Because God wants to manifest the sons of God. He then was the only Son of God, but now he wants to manifest the sons of God in the earth. And there was no other way but through the cross. So, and we saw that after Jesus went through the cross, on Pentecost Day, the sons of God were ushered into the earth. That was the beginning of the church, born again believers. Now, how does this look like? Because I'm sharing this to bring about a prophetic understanding of the season we are in. How does this, let's look at it in the Old Testament, and then we'll get a better picture of what Paul is saying in the terms of prayer. Now remember, when God gives a vision or gives a dream, it's because you're in prayer, because you're praying, and you start praying about it. So let's look at a situation that God gave Abraham a vision. Meaning, God showed Abraham his will for his life, his purpose for his life. So Abraham received it, of course, a man of prayer, a man that has a relationship with God. And Abraham started praying. And of course, sought God, walked with God. God was blessing Abraham in many, many other ways. Money, fame, power, you know, servants, everything. But in this area of what God told him, specifically about the vision, about God's plan, that area was still lacking to see his fulfillment. That's that Abraham will have a son. And of course, Abraham will be father of nations. So Abraham, like, you know, I like to share this a lot because this is the mystery of the cross. No, they didn't know anything about the cross in the Old Testament. So as Abraham waited, nothing happened. Sarah's womb died, nothing happened. But then I want to start this scripture from this place. The season came that God will fulfill, God will bring about the manifestation of this dream, of this vision. The time of fulfillment has come. How does the time of fulfillment looks like to man? But how does it look like in the spirit? Because in the spirit, what I'm sharing with you is how God sees the time of fulfillment. But in the natural, how does man looks like? Look at it. So I want to read from this place now in Genesis chapter 18. Abraham, you all know the story. Abraham was outside and he just looked up and he saw these people coming. Angels from the Lord, and the Lord was with them. And then they came, and Abraham started serving them food, preparing him and Sarah, and they were now beginning to feed them, and they ate. And now I'll read from verse 9 for time. That's why I did that. Verse 9, and they said unto him, to Abraham, where is Sarah thine wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. Verse 10, and he said, and that's the angel now said, I will certainly, that's the Lord speaking to Abraham, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him, behind Abraham. Verse 11. Now, the Bible says, now Abraham and Sarah We are old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Basically, you see other scriptures will tell you, she, you know, Sarah's womb was dead. Pretty just clear. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord, does Abraham being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of surety bear a child which am old? Verse 14. Then the angel says, is anything too hard for the Lord? What a word. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And then the angel said, At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, there are blessings, there are breakthroughs, there are things that when God tells you he wants to do them, you will laugh at yourself. You will literally laugh at God. Abraham did that. Sarah did that. Why? Because humanly speaking, from human perception, from the five senses of man, from every technology and the strength of man, it's impossible. So humanly, you just laugh. You just, it's like, you just doesn't make sense. So here is a man that received a vision. He saw the will of God for his life. He saw the plan of God for his life. And this plan of God, unknown to him, is tied to the destiny of so many people, tied to the destiny of nations. So it wasn't just about him. So he started praying. The more he prayed, the more he sought God, the more he obeyed God, the more he was serving God. God was blessing every area. But this one vision, this one purpose, this will of God, this plan of God, that was gradually not looking possible. And the more he prayed, the more it was getting impossible in the physical. So here is what is happening. The cross is the wisdom of God. It's the mystery of the ways of God. Jesus prayed. That's, you can't get better than Jesus. And God says the answer to that prayer is the cross. You cannot, that prayer, you, my answer to that prayer is the cross. You cannot get the what you are expecting without the cross. So the answer to that prayer was the cross. So Jesus now, when he got the breakthrough, he just, as in his view, embraced the cross. Because the cross was an answer to prayer. Because behind the cross is the power of God. That's where the power of God is revealed. It's the wisdom of God. So now, Abraham has been praying. Every time he will pray, when things get difficult, God, where is it? God doing? God, you know, he's praying. God is answering. So how does it look like in the natural? Sometimes when God is answering, I'm not talking about maybe finance this. I'm talking about destiny, visions that you receive, dreams. You know, I'm talking about supernatural things you're expecting God to do. How does God answer that prayer? How does it look like when God is answering? Now, using what Paul said about the preaching of the cross, using the wisdom of God, he says, when the cross is working, it looks to men that the working of the cross is foolish. So men, it doesn't make sense, so nobody wants to associate with it. But he said, to God is the power and the wisdom of God. So how does the cross look like to Abraham? Because he didn't know that was a cross. He was praying, God was answering. The cross is designed to crucify flesh. The cross, the assignment of the cross is to kill self. Because the whole fallen nature of man is the inherent nature of Satan, which is I, self. So the carrying of the cross is the destroy, is the denial of self. So it's the denial of human ability to manifest the will of God. So Abraham didn't understand that. He's praying, heaven is answering, but in the flesh, Abraham is getting old. He's losing ability to make it happen. Sarah's womb was dying. And the more they pray, Sarah's womb was dying. The more they pray, Abraham was getting old. So the cross, God was answering their prayers, but in the physical, as human, it doesn't make sense. So in human sense, it looks like God wasn't answering their prayers. So many times, men and women of destiny, because of this deep mystery, this deep mystery of God, they pray and pray and pray, and God is answering. God is killing pride. God is killing self. God is trying to deliver man from the wisdom of man so that we can walk in the wisdom of God. But in the natural, we begin to say, God, I prayed, I waited, you've never answered me. That's what Abraham felt like. So finally, there comes a place when the cross has perfected its work. That's where Abraham and Sarah were. What does that place look like? Sarah's womb now is totally dead. The cross has killed it. Abraham is now very old. So there's no way anything can happen. So now, God says, if you look in the spirit, Abraham and Sarah are now ripe for the time of fulfillment. But if you look in the natural, this is the time it looks impossible. It looks like that aspect of the vision, that aspect of the dream will never happen. That's why when Jesus was on that cross, the disciples that saw miracles, the disciples that saw healing, the disciples that saw five loaves turned, fed 5,000, they saw God did unbelievable things. But when they looked at the cross, it was foolish. It was the end of the road. It was dead end. It looks like nothing happened. But they did not consider, if God can do miracles, if God can do all these things, will God just waste everything like that at the cross? So that's why Paul, God revealed to Paul mysteries that no other was able to receive. And Paul described the cross as the wisdom of God. Meaning it is the deep wisdom of God. In 2 Corinthians, actually, Paul put it this way. He says, if the princes of this world, they understand wisdom, they will not have crucified the Lord. Meaning, if even in the spirit, demonic powers, Satan himself, he said, if they knew the wisdom of God behind the cross, they would never have killed Jesus. Because that wisdom was so deep. So when Satan just ate it up, The Pharisees ate it up. The world ate it up. They just swallowed it. Let's kill him. Let's crucify him. Let's do that. And it looks like Jesus was dead. That, you know, reproached the shame of the cross. The reproach of the cross. The foolishness of the cross. And then finally died. And that's the crossover. See, we go through a lot as believers, but we've not got to the crossing over point where the flesh dies for the spirit to reign. Where man dies, self dies for the supernatural to come. You know, this, we are natural. To see the natural has to die. And that the only thing that can crucify the natural is the cross, which is the wisdom of God. So Abraham was the father of faith. God used him to explain this principle. At the very moment the angels came and the crossover has come and heaven was excited, they came to announce this beautiful news to Abraham and Sarah. Hey, the promise God gave to you all these decades, now about 25 years, you know, the time has come now. Now, Sarah, not anybody, not Haggai. Haggai, you know, Ishmael was a manifestation of human wisdom. Sarah is going to have the child now. Fulfillment has come. In the spirit, heaven is rejoicing. In the spirit, angels are excited because God is about to manifest the sons of God. But in the natural, that's the most depressing thing you want to hear. Sarah, I mean, why not we talk about something else? Not about a son at this time. So, that's how that looks like. Now, let me read another scripture to you as we summarize this as it relates to the atmosphere we're in. I want to read to you how Paul looked at this in the book of Galatians. In Galatians chapter 4, I'll read from verse 22. It says, again, I read the practical thing to you in Genesis. But now let me read it to you as Paul was unfolding this mystery as God revealed to him. He said in Galatians chapter 4 from verse 22, he says, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bond maid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bond woman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, meaning a kind of a parable. For these are the two covenants, the one from man's side, Sinai, and the others that gingers to bondage, which is Haggai. For this Haggai is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and an answer to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, verse 27, rejoice, rejoice. That's the way heaven was looking at Sarah at that time. They came, though, just like when Jesus was born by a virgin, they were like, let's rejoice. You know, rejoice, thou barren. Isaiah 54 says, single barren. So the barren woman is looking at it and saying, what am I going to sing about? My womb is dead. But heaven is saying, no, you've come to a crossroad. You are now, your womb is now dead. The natural is ceased to exist. Now the supernatural is coming forth. He says, rejoice, thou barren, thou that bearest not, break forth and cry. Thou that travailest not, for the desolate had now had many more children than she which has a husband. Now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted he that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. So let me just stop here for time and just quickly round up. Look at what he's saying here about Abraham. One man gave birth to two sons. This same man, when his name was Abram, still there was a strength of the human self, the human man carrying a vision, gave birth to Ishmael. But then, after Sarah's womb was completely dead, this same man was now 100 years old, 99 when God gave him that vision. Now, God now told him to circumcise himself, and God changed his name to Abraham. And this same man, with a changed name, now circumcised, the flesh cut off, now met with Sarah, and Sarah's womb that was dead now gave birth, and the child was called Isaac. So one from this story was born by the same man, but born by the man that was of flesh. But now this same man was born, but the other one was of the spirit, his child of promise. So what does that mean? It means exactly what Paul was saying in the book of 1 Corinthians 15. He says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So what does that mean? Flesh and blood can never manifest the promises of God because it's flesh. The only thing that can manifest the promise of God or inherit the promise of God are the sons of God. So, for God to manifest the sons of God, that means God has to kill the flesh or the self-man. So God has to use this allegory, this parallel, using Abraham as an example to show that Ishmael was born. But because Ishmael was of the flesh, Ishmael also has a ministry. Ishmael also has a destiny. But Ishmael cannot manifest the promises of God. But Isaac was born by the womb of a dead woman. So Isaac was born supernaturally. So Isaac now will be able to manifest the promises of God. So God is saying to us, when we have been praying, we've been seeking God. We've been praying and we've been seeking God. God will bless some of us financially. We have good jobs. We have house. We have whatever we have. But the biggest thing God is looking for is the manifestation, the revelation of the children of God to this generation. And by the manifestation and the revelation of the children of God means that the promise of God will be released in the earth, which is the glory of God. So how does that happen? So many times, because of the depthness of the cross, the mystery of the cross, and the wisdom of God behind what I just read to you, many times it's hard for us to discern when the move of God is coming or when God wants to do something unusual. Why is it hard for us? Because, like it was for Sarah, like it was for Abraham, these are great men and women of God. They were still looking in the natural when God was looking in the spirit. So if you look at the church, if you look at people that have been praying for a long time, you will see that there's still this groaning, this longing, this cry that is in all our hearts for God to reveal his glory, for God to move mightily, for his miracles, for God to do something that will gain the attention of this generation that is so desolate and needy for a major breakthroughs in people's lives. But God is looking and saying, but I want this promise to be released on sons and daughters. So all this while, God has been working on our self nature. God has been working on our flesh, and unknown to us, we've been dying to the flesh, and God has been building up our spirit man. And like Sarah, now that we feel, okay, God, I've been waiting, God, I've been praying, God, I've been seeking you, when is this going to happen? When sometimes things look so depressing, so hopeless, it's like the world is getting darker, people are just like getting more, I mean, everywhere is just looking terrible. That's the picture the Lord was giving to me. And from this illustration I gave to you, if you look in the natural, you will not see it. But if you allow the Lord to open your spiritual ears like he did with Elijah on the mountain, you will hear a sound. And so I want to say to you, we need to, like Sarah, when Sarah was told, you know, he was going to have a baby, she laughed. But it was a time for prepare for the coming of Isaac, which is the promise. I really believe that God is about to release his promises in the earth, not just about, you know, physical material breakthrough, but God is about to really unpack his glory upon our generation that has been seeking after him and people that have been praying. So how do we position ourselves to really look for this? We need to position ourselves by faith. We need to come in agreement with the word of the Lord. And like, you know, Elijah, we just have to go. We have to position ourselves. You know, when God told him, he told him, I hear the sound of rain. What did he do? I feel that the rain is coming. What did he do? He went and positioned himself like a woman who wants to give birth and started praying. God, release the rain. God, pour it out. God, reveal your glory. God, manifest sons and daughters in the earth that can release your promises upon this generation. The supernatural. So I just want to encourage you, like we shared last week, to start praying for the fire of God to just invade your personal life and your ministry. Just begin to pray that God will begin to just cry out for the promises of God to be manifest in your life. Begin to cry out for the visions of God that is given to you, the dreams of the Lord. Because I want to really say, I shared all this to tell you, we've actually entered an atmosphere of the seasons of fulfillment. The times where God will begin to fulfill dreams. The times where God will begin to fulfill his word in your life. His promises is given to you. The things he's spoken to you a long time. I'm saying that because I'm beginning to see that personally. 25 years promises, 26 years, 27 years, things I've been waiting for so long. I'm beginning to see fulfillment to some of them. And God is saying, it's a season of fulfillment. Let the people know to begin, like just to press into that place of expectation. Is it a barrenness? What kind of barrenness is that? Is it a dryness? What kind of dryness? You can just, you know where you are. You know who you are. You know where your ministry is. You know where your family is. This is not a time again to laugh and say, is this anything too hard for God? Begin now to really press in and say, God, I laid this on the shelf. I forgot about this because it looks impossible. When anything looks the most impossible in your life, you are at the very moment to see the supernatural. So that's why we pray. And that's the very place that intercessors have always been discouraged, because they said, all these years I've been praying, there's nothing to show for it. But really, in the spirit, heaven is excited about manifesting those things now. In the natural, it doesn't look like it, but in the spirit, I want to say to you, rejoice and begin to really believe God for major supernatural fulfillments of things God has promised you for years. This is the season to believe him more than ever before. In Jesus' name, amen.